expand, until by Roman times there were around 200 million. Around the beginning of the 19th century, there were 1 billion. Now, there are more than 8 billion. So, if we are around halfway through the roll call of humanity, another 60 billion will come after us. Even if we kept our population growth down to replacement rate, that is, with each woman having, on average, 2.1 children, the extra 0.1 compensates for children who do not reach reproductive age, then we have just 10 generations to go. The current fertility rate is around 2.2. Doomsday is coming. Of that, there is little doubt. The only question is whether the demise of humankind and the Earth itself will be as a result of humanity's own actions, or whether cosmic forces far beyond our understanding, much less control, will take our fate out of our own hands and place it at the mercy of the laws of physics. Chapter 1. One Man's War. During World War II, Hitler maintained that the Aryan race was defending itself against an international conspiracy that he claimed had been organized by the Jews, and asserting its natural right to rule over the racially inferior Slavic peoples to the east. But despite the Holocaust and the appalling treatment meted out to the people in the territories Germany occupied, World War II was not a race war. It was a war of one man's ambition, an ambition which took the world to the brink of global annihilation. We may not be so lucky next time. Whether World War II would have happened without Hitler is a matter of philosophical debate. There is, however, no doubting the fact that he was its chief architect. Born in Austria, the son of a brutal, drunken customs officer, Hitler had a troubled childhood. His idolized mother died of cancer when he was 20, and his artist's talents turned out to be not so great as he had fondly imagined. Failing as an artist, he became a down-and-out in Vienna, where he nurtured megalomaniac fantasies of revenge on the world, and more sinisterly, on the Jews, who he blamed not only for his personal misfortunes, but those of Europe as a whole. At the outbreak of World War I, Hitler was in Munich, where he had gone to avoid being conscripted into the Austrian army, and joined the German army instead. Wounded and gassed, he proved a brave soldier, winning the Iron Cross First Class in 1918, but he was never promoted beyond the rank of corporal. Germany's surrender in 1918 left the country in political turmoil. In 1919, Hitler joined the German Workers' Party, which became the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or Nazi Party, in August 1920. Based in Munich, it attracted former servicemen who felt that the frontline troops had not lost the war on the battlefield, but had been stabbed in the back by communist agitators and Jews at home, none of whom had Germany's interests at heart. As the party's propaganda chief at the time, Hitler also played on the discontent caused by the punitive nature of the Treaty of Versailles that had ended the war. This stripped Germany of its colonies, redrew its borders, restricted its military, and forced it to pay reparations. With the help of Ernst Röhm, an army staff officer, Hitler took over the Nazi Party in July 1921. Hitler's hypnotic oratory soon drew a following. He viciously denounced communists and Jews, while Röhm organized a private army of stormtroopers named the Sturmabteilung, the SA, better known as the Brown Shirts, to police Nazi Party meetings and attack political opponents. In November 1923, Hitler made his first attempt to gain power, staging a coup against the Bavarian government, generally referred to as the Munich Beer Hall Putsch. When the putsch failed, Hitler was arrested, tried, convicted of treason, and sentenced to 5 years in prison. In Landsberg prison, he wrote Mein Kampf, My Struggle, in which he extolled the virtues of racial purity and the will to power, and denounced communists, liberals, Jews, and foreign capitalists. Germany was destined to become the world's dominant power, he said. It would